It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I'm just gonna hit the button. All right. Okay. So there's a bit where he's at a college. I think it's a college show, and he's trying to do some stuff, and nobody gives a fuck because they all want. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And he doesn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And he got so mad that he went and got a paperback copy of The Great Gatsby and just read it. And that's an asshole thing to do. But I feel like it is quite creative and ingenious in a way. Ingenious. I'm not saying he's a genius. That's a different thing.
Well, yeah, I like the Mighty Mouse thing. And there are a few other things, but the stuff that people usually point to as wow, this guy's thinking way outside the box or next level or whatever, it doesn't seem like that to me at all.
Sometimes it's a little just high-handed absurdism.
Well, it's a little like, you know, I see this online a lot with people who talk about how entertaining it is to watch Trolls or whatever. I don't understand that either. I don't get that kind of humor. I mean, I get it conceptually. I understand that you're getting
in general,
a kick out of...
you're not into ironic humor, I've found.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like satire, and I like some ironic humor. What I don't understand is, to me, it really doesn't take a lot of creativity or genius to yank a person's chain or to make a person mad or, you know... I don't find that to be taking a lot of skill as an artist or a comic just to make people upset.
This is interesting because just recently I paid a visit to somethingawful.com where I've not been in a long time. and as usual, first thing I did was check to see if anybody has threatened to sue them because their legal threats are the most hilarious things ever. Unfortunately, nobody's tried in a long time. And I found this, they have this other section called Truth Media.
Okay.
It's very simple. It has two sections, Truth Media Reviews and Truth Media Flames. And they are regular articles. The Truth Media Reviews are reviews of movies, video games. I think there's an album one time. Mostly movies and video games. In fact, more video games than anything else. And they are fake. They are bullshit. They are intentionally full of stupid errors and criticize things that are exactly the opposite. Like, they'll criticize a particular console for not doing it well when that console does it way better than the other one. All this stuff. And really, just like really dumbass stuff. And it's not in and of itself super funny. Sometimes they have moments. But the thing is, that's not the point. The point is, they do this
to make people mad, and then they
and
write.
People write emails,
yeah.
And then they show everybody the emails, and to a certain degree, it gets old pretty fast. But to a certain degree, it's fascinating because they don't hide what this is. Like, they're really open. I mean, not in the review itself, but like, especially in the flame section, they're like, here's another person who was really angry at our fake review of a video game.
And, like it was real.
Yeah. And to the degree that, like, because, like, some people, they just don't know the site. But other people are fans of the site. And it's like, this is all they do.
Well, here's the thing about...
And in fact, actually, there was a great one I read where a guy wrote it. It was like, I'm a huge fan of the site. And I, but this, you were really wrong. And da-da-da-da-da. And then sent another email, said, I'm sorry if that was kind of rough, but really, I just thought you should be warned. And then sent another one that said, I'm an idiot. I just got it. Really well done.
Well, here's the thing. There's a difference to me between trolling and flaming. Of course, flaming is, to me, pretty ridiculous in general. But
yeah.
There are people who are really good at it.
Well, trolling tends to elicit flames.
Well, yeah, there are. I mean, I've read flame quotes that are very well written.
Oh, yeah.
And are very effective. I mean, I don't.
It's insult comedy. Insult comedy is a definite thing, yeah, and you can do it really well.
But trolling to me is something completely different. It's like, you know, baiting people you know, pretending that you hold a position that you don't really hold or whatever. Again, I get what's entertaining people about this, but it seems like it's not a very sophisticated kind of entertainment, and it seems to me like trollers think they're being really clever and really way outside the box and edgy, but they're not.
Well, it's hard to tell, because of course they would say, no, I'm not. I just like making you mad.
Well,
it's a very hip kind of thing.
Well, and it's not just, I mean, I guess I don't really know what these people think. I'm just sort of judging based on some of the things they say about themselves and to each other. But also, people will come in and criticize the trollers, or say, hey, just don't feed the trolls or whatever, but express appreciation for their skill in baiting people. And I don't, that's not skillful. Anybody can do that.
Well, no, I would disagree. I would, the way you do it, because especially in this day and age, a lot of people, not everybody, there's always going to be a dumbass, but a lot of people can spot a troll now and won't go after it. And so it does take skill to be convincing. Essentially, we're talking about a version of lying, and it can take skill to do that just right. But I don't like trolls, because I don't like the idea of just getting people mad. I don't like watching people just get mad. Every once in a while, there's something really crazy. Like, really? And you watch that. But in general, I don't go for that. That's not my particular brand of schadenfreude.
Well, that's a...
But the trolling and I'm going to use this term. This is a term many trolls will probably use. Very few of them. Is this an honest term? And I think it's a very rare thing, but this is what I appreciate. Trolling as social experiment.
Yeah.
Because it is amazing sometimes to see what people... I mean, there's a troll, and I know he's a troll, and he's lying about the thing, but who cares? And then suddenly, these people care. And this Truth Media thing I was talking about, two of the things they did was the first Lord of the Rings movie and Mass Effect 2. And both of those had just phenomenally huge response, like just enormous. And some people were very, very much trying to be helpful, and I find that interesting. Like, they're like, just so you know, you got this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. Mm. And others are like, oh God, you're so stupid. You didn't even know this detail. And they the same list. And then others that are just like, you're a fag, I hope you died. And I find it really interesting that, like, it elicits all of that. And I just wonder, I keep wanting to be like, what are the people on the other side think? Like, were the helpful people really thinking somebody would write back and be like, oh, we didn't know. Let's change all 21 points in your email in our review. And the snide people, would they be like, oh man, I feel so stupid now. You showed me. And the other ones, I don't really care what the die fag ones say, because whatever. But it is just interesting. It's a very Skinner box kind of thing. It's like, we put these people in this room and told them we hated Lord of the Rings, and then let's see what happened. And while it's not something I would do, and it's frequently something that I'm not into, every once in a while I'm like, this is fascinating to see how people react.
Yeah, I don't. It's not to me. I shouldn't say it's not fascinating. It's just not surprising, because I think that people perceive, you've got a few different perceptions of what online conversation is. I think, for example, the people who wanted to be helpful, they see all of this as a kind of conversation, right? And they see the interactive part of it. Like, they posted this review, and I think a lot of people perceive everything that's online to be
something they can review.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're putting this out here for me to criticize it,
so
for
I'm
me to
review your
and
review.
So I'm either going to do it in a friendly way, or I'm going to do it in a rude way, or I'm going to use it as an excuse to be aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't even really care, but it's just going to be the way I'm going to work through my personal issues. And so you get that spectrum. And I think that is fascinating, but I think what bothers me about it is I personally see the internet as this place where conversations are had and that they should be had. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I've always known that about you. I find it adorable.
Well, okay, so the point being, to mess with that in any way as a troll or as a social experiment or anything else, it's just like, why are you doing this? Just let it be a nice conversation.
Well,
and that doesn't mean that people can't be mean or they can't be angry or flame or anything else, but to fiddle with it just to be a pill, you know, that doesn't
and I will say, while I say I do find this fascinating, it has to be in moderation, and there is, you know, the one spec I find interesting, there's just a crap ton of similar things out there, so it's like it's been covered.
Yeah.
So I do admit I really wish there was a lot less of it. But every once in a while I just find it really interesting. You've literally got a scratching post over there made out of the same stuff.
Is it surprising to you? I mean, are you of the
that he scratches on that
no,
box?
No, this whole phenomenon. Are you of the do you come into it expecting people to be what am I trying to say? It seems really obvious to you that this is a big joke. And is that the thing that surprises you, that people don't respond to it like that? Or
to a degree, and just because there are times, it's rare, because I'm a victim of the wars. I used to join forums in the hope of having some rational debate and conversation. I've been through it.
As you know, I do that all the time.
You're still fighting.
I know.
You're
what's wrong with me.
Fucking idealist.
True believer.
Yeah, no.
Can't
I,
let
I,
go.
I came back with missing a leg, and I'm said, fuck war, you know.
War.
I used to be an adventurer like me. You. And then I took too many gay bashings to the knee.
Because war never changes.
Internet forums never fucking change.
Well,
but in this day and age, there's still sometimes, actually, like Shia and the beef that we were just talking about earlier, where you can't be sure. Are they trolling or are they trying to make a point? Do they really believe that? And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Whenever I encounter that, you know what I do?
What?
Nothing.
Well, I'm the same way, though.
And so what I'm genuinely surprised about is that other people do.
Yeah, okay.
Even if it's the picture-perfect version of the internet you think it is, what do you think your 21-point list correcting the name and spelling errors in their Lord of the Rings review will do for society?
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point.
There are better things to spend your time doing. And I don't get particularly angry with them. Or whatever. That's the thing. Whenever I pay actual attention, I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
What is it like in your head?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And am I going to claim there's not a healthy dollop of schadenfreude in all this? Of course not. I feel super smug that I have figured out the internet. And these little turds have not
This is a really good point you're making, though. What really is the motivation? Like you said...
And that's the point I've hit with any internet correspondence, is to picture... And it's a good idea anyway, because they always say, you know, remember it's a human on the other side. So I always like to do that and be like, why the hell is this human doing this? And sometimes it's very gratifying, sometimes it's not. But it's always interesting to sit there and go, here's the internet. Okay, now let's picture the people behind it. What are their motives?
Well, do you ever get the sense, because this is what I run into, because I think it's probably obvious to you, and maybe it's obvious to everybody listening, that when I participate, I want to be enriched myself.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I can enrich somebody else too. I mean, that you always hope to do that, but you know, I want to grow and learn myself.
You're doing the whole classic Greek debate.
Yeah, I want everyone to win in this thing, not just me or them or whatever. But what usually makes me leave a situation is I don't sense that
anyone's
literally
winning.
Anybody else has the same attitude I have about it.
Yeah.
The first time I experienced something like this was not online. I was a freshman in college, and I was in rhetoric class, okay?
Uh-oh.
And my rhetoric teacher was one of
those... How was it?
How was what?
Rhetoric class.
I don't know.
No, you're not supposed to answer.
Oh, that was a rhetorical question. my rhetoric...
I don't know how rhetoric works.
My rhetoric teacher was one of those guys who, you know, everybody, you got to get all the chairs in a circle, and we're gonna read some book, and we're gonna talk about what we think about it. This book was called I don't remember. It was something about heroes. It was a book about masculinity in the West, and talking about how it's very narrowly and strictly defined, and how damaging it is to men and women and society in general, and so on.
Okay, just pause. You mean you're talking about the role of masculinity in modern Occidental society?
Yeah.
I totally thought this was about the role masculinity played in the Wild West.
Well, actually, that came up, but...
until I realized you were talking present tense, and I'm like, wait, what? Oh! In my head, it was totally all a cowboy masculinity and what that meant.
But anyway, so we talked about this, and what I realized in those conversations was there were about 20 people in there, 20 students, and each person gave their perspective, and it was very clear that their idea about speaking in our rhetoric class was to tell everybody else how it is.
And was not influenced by whoever
it's
spoken
to. Did not care about whatever anybody else was saying. And my perspective was quite different because, to me, that's the whole reason I was going to college. So we could all get together and learn something. I mean, I know that sounds corny and stupid to most people, but that's really what I thought college was about. And that's what I was there for. And it even got to the point where the teacher took me aside one day after class and after everybody else had left and said, Bill, you really have to help me out here because I noticed that you want to engage and you want to ask questions.
You're actually doing what we're hoping
to do. You actually get what this class is about and nobody else in here does. So if, you know, I, as the teacher, I don't, you know, obviously with all the, he was trying to encourage discussion and have all the chairs in a circle or whatever. The last thing he wanted to do was be the authoritative teacher. So I became sort of his shill in a way so that he wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
And I guess it was a compliment to me, I suppose, that he did that. But I also found it really sad, discouraging. I kind of hoped I just was perceiving things wrong. But I clearly wasn't. And then when...
If you're lucky, by the time you hit senior level seminars, which for me at Grinnell is like 5 students... Then sometimes you get discussions.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That.
That's true.
But in freshman, no, because everybody's eager to prove themselves, and their way of proving themselves is to have an idea that beats everybody else.
Oh, no, these people were really smart. I mean, these people knew tons more than I did.
Oh, yeah, but still, as a college freshman, you really want to prove that you belong in higher ed.
Maybe that's part of the reason that I was so willing to be open was because I knew nothing. I mean, I came from a tiny little town, and all these people knew a lot more than I did.
You still know nothing.
That's true. But you know, also at that very same time, bulletin boards were starting up.
Yeah.
And, of course, online was exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Except a lot of people were saying, oh, well, the reason it's this way is because of anonymity, et cetera. No, it's this way outside. And, I mean, maybe
anonymity
enhances
helps
it a little bit.
So people can say, I hope you die of cancer twice.
Right. But another thing about the anonymity and all those other things is they could also be a positive thing if applied in a certain way. So a lot of things people said about online communication back then, and they still say today, and they ascribe to certain things like anonymity and all this other stuff, it's not exactly true. There are some cultural things going on outside that have always been going on that maybe the internet, you know, it's like it gives it a boost, or it makes it a little stronger, or it gives it a little bit different flavor. But there's definitely cultural things going on outside the internet that make these things happen. And so, but yeah, I think you're right. It's interesting. My observation is, I've rarely met a person. I have a few times, a very, very few times, But in the, I don't know, 25 years or so I've been online trying to find people to talk to, maybe two or three people, but the vast majority of people seem to be only on there to say what they want to say and have everybody else agree with it, or they don't want to talk to them at all.
To be fair, I mean, not to be fair, to be honest, nowadays, achieving that type of discourse online or in real life requires a great deal of construction because there's so much cultural stuff you're fighting against.
Yeah, yeah.
So it requires a lot of make sure it's the right person, make sure it's the right topic, make sure we're upfront about this. Make sure sometimes I purposely downplay my opinions, or in fact, sometimes will lend credence to an opinion that I really think is bullshit just to get some stuff. Not devil's advocate version, but like so-and-so makes a good point. They really don't make a good point, but I want them to.
No, I get.
I want the momentum to start.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And outside of that, how I tend to live. Well, first of all, within my own psyche, I have a lot of cultural stuff with that. My ability to pontificate it far surpasses my desire. Like, I will just find, oh my God, I've just been telling people what to do, and I didn't even mean to do that.
Yep.
You know, how did I become the leader of this group? I did not want to.
Yeah, but that happens to me too. Sometimes.
Insofar as I can pay attention to all that, I basically pick either or. So we're going to have a conversation. The conversation is either going to be me telling you stuff or me receiving stuff from you. Because those are easy to do. It's very easy for me to be like, dude, here it is. And people will listen. I'm good at it. And it's also really easy for me to be like, oh, and just ask some questions. And then follow. So it gets very, our eternal reference, my dinner with Andre. You'll note there's not a lot of dialogue in that. It is primarily monologue, 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 other guy, monologue, 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 yeah, first guy, monologue, monologue.
Yeah.
And that's how I operate. And I can make that happen with relative ease.
Yeah.
Tell me about this. Oh, really? That must have been... How is that? Why would you do... You know, or I can be like, okay, so in my experience, like right now, I can... The whole thing.
Sure, sure.
And that's usually... And then I try and even it out, because I want to learn as well as to teach. But that's how I mitigate it. And then every once in a while, you can pull off, okay, let's really do this.
See, you and I seem to have very balanced conversations. I mean, sometimes one of us will do more talking or the other, but for the most part, I think there's pretty much a good give and take when we have a conversation.
You and I are both aware of this situation and are striving for that. You and I are very close, which helps.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing somebody helps, because that construction I talk about is way easier if you know the person real well. And in fact, in some cases, can be reflexive. You're doing it without thinking about it.
Yeah, but I think the reason we got to know each other so well is because we could see that we could have that kind of conversation.
And it gets sort of chicken and egg, which I need to stop using that metaphor. but the other thing is, we've worked at it. Yeah. I think if you go back to early versions, let alone early conversations at Gaia's Feast, we weren't nearly as good at it. We've been doing this, for more than 4 years, but we've been doing this weekly for 4 years.
Yeah,
we're way better than we used to.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, hello.
See, that's why...
It's 23 minutes.
That's why you don't often press the button, and even if we're having...
I know, this is fucking hilarious. 23 minutes in.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the second half of the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that is essentially the media equivalent of the Arby's Brown Sugar BLT. Nobody asked for it. Probably not something you should consume, but folks that do really enjoy it.
Really?
I've had two of them. I really like it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 227.
Yep, and it's going to be a two-parter, which is why we had the huge intro. It'll be like the 20th anniversary Halloween thing, where the first half hour was before the opening credits and was a completely unrelated story to the rest of the movie. Jersey, no, you don't watch horror movies. I feel like I've talked about this. Have I talked about this before? So
I don't know.
Halloween. Series of horror movies.
Okay, yeah.
And they made the first one,
mm-hmm.
and it was really freaky.
Did you like it?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
My parents are really freaky. Jamie Lee Curtis is the sister, and the little brother is the freaky one.
You know, there are a lot of people who are fans of that movie because of her, just because they think she's hot.
She is hot. But anyway, But so she's there and trying to kill her. I think she's the only one who survives or whatever. Anyway. Spoiler. Yeah. I'm going to spoil the Halloween franchise for you. And I'm only talking the original. I'm not even going to touch the Rob Zombie remakes, which apparently were also really freaky and awesome.
Really?
And they did a sequel to that that hijinks ensued. I don't know. It was genuinely a sequel.
Okay.
And then they made Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is one of the worst things ever, ever, ever made. Does not have anything to do with Michael Myers or any of the other stuff whatsoever. It has to do with cursed Halloween masks being mass marketed to children, so they turn into lumps of bugs. Seriously, don't even. Anyway, and they ended up making like 7, 12, 14 of them. At a certain point, Michael Myers stopped being a crazy kid and like was the incarnation of something, and druids had brought him, but and I don't know. They went really apeshit. They probably sent him into space. They sent everybody into space at some point. They sent fucking Leprechaun into space.
They did.
Leprechaun 4 in space.
Oh, wow.
And entire script never uses the word leprechaun.
Oh.
And yet, more leprechaun in it than Leprechaun Origins, which I recently watched, which actually uses the word leprechaun. But I'm getting out of the thing.
Jeez.
So, here's the thing. For the 20th anniversary of... And they keep bringing Jamie Lee Curtis back. Not in every single one, but she's there a lot. Because she survived. She's got a lot of issues now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because of her serial killer little brother. She keeps, like, moving and changing her name and shit. And he finds her. No, wait, that's Friday the 13th.
And she can't find the yogurt she likes.
Exactly. She's irregular. that was almost a joke. Well done. But so for the 20th anniversary, they're like, you know what? Halloween starts with H and 20. If you put H and 20 together, it's H2O, and mm-hmm. that means water. We can't pass up this opportunity to make another horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How are you just accepting that line of reasoning I just told you?
Tony, we've had a zillion conversations about the outlandish marketing ploys of Hollywood and television that you often comment about how incredulous I am because I'm like, I just can't believe it. And now I'm finally accepting it.
I know. But this one I made up.
With a straight face.
I don't know, but it's called this one is called H2O. The 20th anniversary one was called H2O because fuck everything.
Sure.
And I watched it.
Yeah.
And it's like a 90-minute horror movie, as they are wont to be, especially when they're the 12th or 15th in the series.
Sure.
Have you met Ezzy's butt, by the way?
Hello, Ezzy's butt. you've met Eddie's butt right
so
there
many
next to your
times
face.
So many times. Well, she's smacking me in the face with her tail. Anyway, so 90 minutes. It starts in an asylum, a sanitarium, where Jamie Lee Curtis is, because she's had a rough time of it. And she's freaking out. And she's worried, but it could be hallucinations, right? Because, you know, her brother's on her mind a lot. Go figure, all the serial killing, trying to murder her. But it's really him. And they have a fight, and range is all over. And it lasts for a half hour.
Oh, wow.
And he eventually kills her.
Oh.
Successfully. Mm. And wanders off. And then the opening title happens.
After 30 minutes?
After 30 minutes.
There's only an hour left.
Uh-huh. And that hour is he apparently wandered back to the house that the first movie was in. And because it's famous and it's the anniversary or whatever, they're filming like a reality TV thing there. And people show up and get murdered by him. In other words, having jack shit to do with what happened in the first half hour. So it's a half hour movie about... Michael Myers killing his sister finally. And then it's an hour movie about him just killing people. Mm. Unrelated. Only thing of significance about this film is one of the few movies where one of the two survivors was actually the black guy. It's fucking Busta Rhymes and he lives. Spoiler alert, Busta Rhymes lives at the end of H2O. And they've made more of them since then, so it wasn't like that was the last one. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, here's how the show works. Nothing like this. We have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like to write into that email address with little notes, comments, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Experimental. I feel like I've used that. Hosts, or servants, me and William, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. That is the whole show. We do it for about an hour, of which half is over already, so fuck that. How was your week?
You know, I just doing my thing. You know, I was thinking about this, like, okay, he's going to ask how my week was, and most of the time, all I do that I feel like, you know, it's okay for me to talk about is work, because I'm working on projects all the time, mm-hmm. which reminds me, I do have a rough draft of that shadow thing I was going to do. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in maybe looking at that and giving me some feedback? No, I don't know if it's any good, but I've sent it to a few other people and haven't heard a lot back. The other adult in the house thought it was pretty good, but I don't know. Maybe you can give it a read and tell me.
Yeah, totally.
But another thing I spend time doing is, you know, I read legislation. I've probably told you this.
You haven't, but I find it incredibly unsurprising.
And the reason I do that is because I've not found a single place, a single news source that is going to be, I want to say, some of them are
accurate. So
accurate, and some of them are downright not honest.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And when I say that, I mean, well, like, I subscribe to email updates about legislation that pertains to.
Yeah, I know Dave Lubsack congratulated both of you when gay marriage was made legal. That was a little weird.
on net neutrality. Food policies and things like that.
Yeah.
But even these groups that I support, not monetarily, but, you know, I support their cause, they're often sending me information that is so inaccurate,
mm-hmm.
and so misleading.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this really discouraging because, you know, I would like a source to alert me about legislation that really is as bad as they say it is, or that's really going to do the horrible things they say. And I often have to read the
death panels.
I mean, because I'm not going to write I do write my senator and congress people. I do that. But I'm not going.
Dear congressman, do you like me?
No.
Yes?
No. I'm not going to do that.
Congressman writes in maybe.
Just based on
box.
What these groups tell me a piece of legislation is going to do, because they are misleading, and sometimes they're misleading in a way that seems like an outright lie to me.
I only do what people tell me that the Bible tells me.
So I sometimes read legislation, and sometimes I say, okay, well, what they're saying is right, so I'll write my legislator. But I'll write them in a way that indicates I've actually read the thing, and I know. I mean, I'm not going to use the same language that this group would have me use, because I think if they hear from people and they say that stuff, they're going to know these people don't know anything about what they're talking about. They don't know anything about the legislation at all, and they're going to ignore it.
And what you don't know is this.
They don't know either. I know.
No, it's all trolling. It's all fake legislation to get people like you to respond. No. And somewhere they have a blog where they're like, look at what these people wrote about our fake laws.
No, it's real legislation. But I'm sure most of the legislators don't read it either. They don't even know what the legislation says. But
interesting fact, 35% of all U.S. Congress people, illiterate, can't read.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because how can people be, you know, responsible, you know, active in their democracy and whatnot when there's so much misinformation? Because I read this legislation and that's fine. Who has time to do that? I don't even really have time to do it. I just do it. I
I probably have time. I'm not gonna.
Well,
but I probably have time.
okay, let me put it another way. Who ought to have to take the time? You know what I'm saying? You elect people for a reason, and you have the press for a reason. You should be able to read the paper or you know, take in a couple news sources, or you know, hear from your congressman or your senator or whatever, and that should be enough. You shouldn't have to sit there and read all this legislation yourself to know what's really going on. I mean, should you, or am I wrong about that? Do you think that is something a citizen should be expected to do?
I have no comment at this time.
All right, well,
on the advice of my counsel.
I was hoping you'd have an opinion, but if you don't...
I don't, because... Because I've opted out.
Yeah.
Ideally, yes. Realistically, no. Is it dangerous to say no? Yes. Is it kind of crazy to say yes? Yes. I mean, are you 100% right? Yes. Is that something that can happen, would happen, should happen? Not until a bunch of other stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I think you're wrong for reading the legislation? No. Would I ever do it? No. for more reasons than I would rather be playing video games and looking at porn. That's the first reason, but there's lots of reasons why.
Well, you know, I just want... There are only a few issues that I really feel like I have a strong opinion about. I mean, you know, it's not every piece
of... Estate tax.
Not every piece of legislation. I mean, I get an update...
Flag burning.
...about everything that my congressman and senator...
Spelling bees.
...votes on. And some of it, don't care how they vote. There's only a few things that I care about, and I want to keep up on those things.
Bottle bill.
But I shouldn't have to read every single bill.
Sin tax.
But I mostly do, so...
I'm not actually talking about taxes on, like, cigarettes and porn and stuff. I'm talking about syntax, like structure of a sentence. That's his main issue.
Anyway, so obviously this isn't a topic that you're interested in, so why don't you tell me about your week? Or are we going to save that for part two?
I'm not interested. I just don't have anything to contribute.
Well, how did your week go?
It was very good. I finally got my real weekend at home, and that was nice. And I'll get one this weekend, but then I leave for a week. I saw a bunch of movies. None of them in the theater. We're playing the game. Gaming group got together. Yeah, although one of my people was gone, but we still played. We didn't get real far, because they're trying to come up with a plan. And that takes them some doing.
Yeah.
But they did come up with a plan, and it, at least the first part of it has worked relatively successfully, in that some of them are now inside the town that they're attempting to rescue from the bad guys. Now, one of the people in there is literally in the custody of the bad guys, under false pretenses, but two others are in there, and nobody knows they're there, so that's probably good. And then another one is up a tree hundreds of yards away planning to shoot somebody in the eye with his bow. I'm not sure what his end game is. I don't. That's what he's going to do next. I don't know why, but that's what he's going to do. So, you know, it's a start.
Yeah.
Things have happened. Work's gone okay. Not a lot else going on, really. I've gotten way into this game called Terraria, which is just a knockoff of Minecraft, basically, but in 2D. But it's very compelling in the same way. You know, it's one of those, I do things and then I've accomplished stuff, and so it feels like I've accomplished things, even though they're not real things. And that's it, except I've seen a bunch of movies. But I can save those for next week because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
And I got to talk about them next week. You shouldn't feel bad, though, because, you know, we had good conversation in the beginning there.
Yeah, I thought so.
Even if it was not predicated on anything.
They missed the whole part about Shia LaBeouf that we were talking
about. Yeah, the beef. I was trying to explain to William what the fuck he's been up to. And I went and showed his motivational video, and that helped explain. I feel like I could have talked for a long time.
It literally helped. I felt motivated when it was over.
Also true. But I feel like I could have explained, I could have spent hours, and it wouldn't have been as grasped as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we find out it's for the new Burger King motivational Whopper or something, it'll make sense. But for right now, like, it makes less sense than when Joaquin Phoenix became a rapper. And I really don't think there's a secret documentary hiding behind this one.
Okay.
I don't know. I would feel bad. I'm enough of one of society's assholes that I like watching famous people do stupid shit. It cracked me up when Jim Carrey recently went on his Twitter tirade about vaccines again.
Well, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. California is passing a law requiring people to vaccinate their kids.
Sure, I've heard that.
That night, Jim Carrey went on a Twitter tirade about it. And how fascist was the word he used at one point. But here's the thing. He claims he's not anti-vaccine. He's pro-safe vaccine. And he is specifically railing against some additive in there that hasn't been in there since 06. Like, I think it's literally no U.S. vaccines anymore have it. Or if they are, it's not the standard ones that you get as kids.
Okay.
So he's flipping out over something that's not really there. Hmm. And, you know, the anti-vax people piss me off. But, so that I kind of enjoy. I'm like, haha, look, Jim Carrey, he's stupid. Fuck off. But the exception is when I really feel like it comes from a place of mental illness and trauma. So, for example, I never find any of the Amanda Bynes stuff funny because I think she's just fucked up and needs help. Mm-hmm. I no longer find any of the Randy Quaid stuff funny because I just think he's schizophrenic.
I don't know about the Randy Quaid stuff.
He went through a slew of skipping out on hotel bills and like breaking into and living in a house that he used to own, but he sold it years before and eventually fled the country and is in Canada and sought asylum and didn't work. But for some reason, he's still there with his wife and they make little short films talking about how there's a huge conspiracy in Hollywood and they're killing off people like Heath Ledger and stuff. They killed them off and stuff like this. And yeah, he's just a lunatic now.
Wow.
And it's not, at first it was kind of fun, but now it's like, no, I genuinely think he's, I mean, I think he believes what he's saying, which means either there's a huge Hollywood conspiracy and star whackers, as they call them.
Star whackers.
That was the title of the song he wrote about it and the short film.
He wrote a song about it?
Oh yes. And the short film they made about it. So either the star whackers exist or he's got something wrong with it. Like,
yeah,
he's
got the edge. Yeah.
Yeah. In which case I'm like, it's not funny. He just needs help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sad and worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the line I draw. So I do worry a little bit with the beef, that he might be at that point almost.
Really?
But at this point, I think he's still just sort of a self-indulgent asshole. He's a kid who got, you know, wealth and power and fame too early, and now he's an asshole.
Okay.
That happens a lot. And so then it's fun to laugh at. But no, as I was showing William when he came in, there's a video for a song called Elastic Heart that you may have heard on the radio by Sia. It's a good song. I like it. So I watched the video, and the video is Shia LaBeouf and some woman I don't know in a cage together, a big giant cage, and the whole thing is largely them having these interactions that are very primal and ape-like, sort of. It's sort of a, because like he comes over to see her and she runs at him and so he's scared and backs up and then lots of weird stuff and it's I don't know, it's interesting and he does it well. It's very sort of suited to him. So I thought that was interesting. And yeah, William walked in on me watching that. So that was what started that. And then Andy Kaufman. So, hat. Yeah, I like not calling. I think I stole it from the Riff Trex people or whatever, but I like calling him. I don't like saying LeBouf. I like doing Shia the beef.
The beef.
Because that's what it means.
I know.
It's French for the beef.
Yes, I know.
Or la beef. It's like Boba Feet. Boba Fruit by the Foot.
You know.
Bubbly Foot. You know, that.
Boba Feet. Like,
Boba Feet!
Jazz wants to know.
Jazz. Is Jazz still alive? We had this episode and she didn't say nothing.
Oh, yeah, she's... Of course.
Why you know love us, Jazz?
Why you know love... what ability or skill would either of you like to acquire or to improve?
William would like the ability to force people to have real discourse.
No, I don't want to force anybody to do anything. That defeats the point.
I have a lot of abilities that I'd like to acquire or improve.
Acquire. Well,
there's a lot of things that I could do if I put the effort in. But I don't, so I would like to just have it without having to put the effort in.
Well, here's the thing. I would like to improve, overall, my storytelling ability, and...
That's one for me, too. I like that one.
Or acquire it if I simply don't have any talent at it at all. Oh, but so. I think I have some ability in that area, so I'd like to improve it. I'm
willing to grant you that some. You have told stories that I did not fall asleep during. Well, and you have told stories that the content of did not necessarily guarantee that I would not fall asleep, and yet I did not. So,
although
it does seem like your most enthralling stories are accidentally enthralling. So I'm sure
that's true.
Like the guy dying in the chair, or the
that's not enthralling.
The funnel cake story. No, Those are amazing stories. Okay.
But if as far as acquiring a skill, I suppose it would have to be. The ability to take, you know, the stuff I produce and actually make it more profitable.
So marketing is the ability.
I guess, but there's probably a little more than that. It's probably also a little networking, a little, it always comes down to who you know in terms of making those connections to get something out there so that, and maybe, you know, marketing or, yeah, I don't know. Whatever it takes, because, I mean, that's really where all of my efforts fall short the most, I think. I think I can put together a story pretty well. I think I can produce it, direct it, whatever. I think I've got a lot of help. I've got a lot of good collaborators. You know, and I often complain about not being able to find collaborators, and some people might think I'm forgetting about the collaborators I do have.
You do often complain.
But the fact is, I am thinking of the collaborators I do have, because the more people
So you're complaining not so much that you don't have collaborators, but that you want better collaborators.
No, it's not that. It's that...
I'm going to get you in trouble.
I get all of these people to help me, and they do such a great job. I feel like I'm letting them down by failing to do part of my job, which includes that marketing or that networking aspect as
on
the producer
of your collaborators. We feel that too.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you do.
I every time you've had me set up something, I got points on the back end and I have made bupkis.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I get all of this good help, cool help from people, and I make some progress, but then I can't seem to deliver on my side of it, on the producer side, to, you know, get it to where it needs
to
go.
Trish?
Get it to the people that need to hear it. So I think I would really like to be able to do that better, so that I can, you know, first of all, fulfill the vision that I put together in the first place, but also I can stop disappointing the people who come to my aid and help me, who also want to see this come to something.
As somebody who has a work ethic, by which I'm referring to you, not me, I feel like that's an entirely achievable skill.
Probably.
Do a little research.
The thing is,
you do have trouble with reading.
I've done a lot of research and reading. I mean, I've got more than one book at home about how to do X, Y, or Z, and I've done some of those things, and I've had some success. But I apparently just am not good at it. I mean, you can't just read the book and do what the book says. There's a trick to it, and an art, probably.
A tenacity that borders on annoyance.
That's another thing is that I've got personal blocks. You know, I'm not a very good self-promoter.
You're not pushy.
No, I'm not pushy.
And that often seems to be a key to a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the
success stories out there are, and I wouldn't shut up, and they finally had to give me an audition.
Well,
they finally read my material.
That might not be so hard. It's more stuff like, some of the advice is well, you got to spam people. Well, I don't want to do that.
That's what I meant by wouldn't shut up.
I mean,
you ask out 200 girls, at least two of them will say yes.
I wouldn't have a problem knocking on someone's door every day or showing up at someone's office every
door,
day.
I'll kick your ass.
But harassing people, I mean, what I consider harassment, I just won't do it. But that's what a lot of people tell you you have to do.
No, and I think that is key to a lot of it.
Of course, and a lot of people say, if you're not going to live in California,
yeah,
or at least New York, there's no point.
Or at least New York.
And if, I don't believe that, but of course, look where I'm at. So, you know, so there are a lot of things that I'm just not even willing to do. So that's part of the problem. But I think if I was more skilled, or if I had, I think there's a certain sense you can get for marketing or something, or whatever, or for getting to know certain people, that if I could just figure that out, maybe I'd do better. But I don't know. Maybe I'm doomed from the start. I have no idea. But that's my best answer to the question. What about you?
Doomed. Have you heard the theory that the Disney Haunted Mansion is basically the guests' trip through their own suicide?
I don't understand what that means.
That the experience of the ride, the whole narrative arc of the ride, is basically you, the guest, killing yourself to join the other spirits within the house. The ghost host makes references fairly early on about people, you know, coming in and not leaving and stuff like that. And there are certain set pieces that sort of follow the line of that kind of thing. It's an interesting theory. It's total fan theory, but it has some weird points to it. It's interesting.
I'd have to read it because I'm not sure. I mean, maybe there's things about the ride I don't remember that I would have.
Yeah, it was a lot of weird specifics that I'm like, I didn't. And it's like, and right after this happens. I'm like, okay, I didn't remember that.
I never noticed a particular narrative in the ride.
Me neither.
In the first place.
Me neither, but everything they describe, I'm like, this sounds familiar. I'll try and remember to send you the thing. It was interesting. I don't know that's true, but you know.
Well, what I like about these things you're talking about, these theories, is what they're doing is they're attempting to put a comprehensive and cohesive narrative to something that on the surface might not already have one. And I love that.
Well,
I love when people do that.
Provoking.
No, yeah. I love when people do that because I think that's extremely interesting.
And you get actual creators of things who are like, I know what I meant when I made it, and that's not it.
Yeah.
But I like yours
yeah,
way better.
Yeah, way better. Yeah, you know, yeah.
It should have been about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The skill, well, the big one, of course, is dedication, self-discipline. Because I'm terrible at that. If I could just get those skills. You know me. I don't like doing stuff. I wish I liked doing stuff.
You do? Because I always got the impression that you were perfectly happy with the fact that you don't like doing
content,
stuff.
I am content, but it would be awesome. Well, here's the thing. I am what's known as a phenom.
Okay.
I'm good at, like, everything. I'm awesome.
I could believe that
stuff, but it comes to nothing because I don't ever do the stuff.
Well, what difference does it make? I mean, it's all about what you want.
Because then I would do the awesome stuff.
Okay, but is there some reason you should do the awesome stuff?
Fame, fortune,
oh, okay,
and personal satisfaction. All right, so, of having created something awesome.
So there are some things you want from doing awesome stuff, but there's like there's a block to you doing those things and getting that thing you want.
Effort.
Okay, so But doesn't that mean you don't really want those things? Or
not enough. That's the thing. I want to be a writer. Not enough to, you know, write.
Okay. So the net result is you don't want to be a writer.
Or I don't want to be a writer enough.
Okay, but the thing is, being a writer entails a certain set of things.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can say, if someone says, well, I want to be a writer, but I don't want this piece, is almost like saying, I want to be a car, but I don't want to have wheels. I mean, it doesn't work like that. So.
All right, then. I want to be a writer.
What I'm getting at is, well, I don't know what I'm getting at. I'm trying to understand your thought process, because I guess I was always under the impression that you just didn't even care about doing these things. You could do them. And I guess the reason I'm thinking this way is because there are a lot of things I can do. Some things I'm really, really good at, but I'm not interested in doing. And sometimes people are kind of surprised when they find out that I'm good at something and I don't want to do it, because from their perspective, if you're good at something, you should want to do it. But
he's a remarkable thoracic surgeon. But he just doesn't feel like doing
So I guess, you know, and so I'm taking my own experience and I'm kind of looking at you through that lens and thinking, well, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're going to want to do it. But you're telling me you do want to do it.
Absolutely. Well, let me see if I can give you a more pragmatic example. I would like a clean house.
Okay.
If you could just make it happen magically, I would totally take you up on that.
No, sure.
You're not gonna do that.
No.
But I could have a clean house if I made the effort to clean it.
Right.
So I want a clean house, but I don't want it enough to clean the house. I want to be a writer. If I could just be like, I had this cool idea in my head, which is, it's a novel. And I could magically vomit out a novel from some idea, from one of the ideas I pitched to you. Pitching ideas.
Sure, sure.
I would totally do that. But I could turn that into a novel. I would have to put the time and effort to write. So I want to be a writer, but not enough.
Hmm. And, so you don't like the creative process?
I do. I don't like the effort.
Because, I mean, what makes me make things is I enjoy it. I mean, I really super enjoy it. I mean, I work.
And that's what makes people do a lot of art.
Yeah, I work several hours a day on stuff because I love it. Yeah. I wish I was making
and
more
because
money
there's
at it.
Stuff that needs to come it. Out on the paper. And I've had instances of that. I have written certain short stories because they popped into my head. In fact, one time I was working a half shift at the newspaper on Saturday, because this was the first newspaper, the family-run one, and it was open till noon on Saturdays, and I ran the front desk till then, and then after that it was fine. And while I was sitting there one day, I had an idea, and it was such an idea that I left work, didn't go home, which is like two blocks away, drove out to Walmart, bought a notebook and a pen, went to the nearest coffee house, and sat down and just wrote for hours until I had the short story written, because it had to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that nowadays.
So. But you don't enjoy the work. You don't enjoy the craft.
Sometimes, not often.
Huh.
When it's something that I think is really good, yeah. But it's odd, because, I mean, the short answer is I'm lazy. But laziness isn't a real thing. Like, there's always a reason behind it, and it's not always the same reason. Laziness is kind of, I'm choosing not to put forth the effort. Well, and the whys is when it gets
sure. It's
complicated.
It's an issue of priority is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this impulse overrides this impulse. This want overrides that want.
And the overriding one is often just sit around and play video games or watch something dumb or look at porn. And these are not real articulated impulses. They're way less articulated than write a story. But that's essentially what we're talking about. My urge to not write is greater than my urge to write.
Well, you don't think it's more of a, or maybe, I don't know if it's also this or more of a, the impulse to do this thing instead of write, or, because like you said, being lazy is not a thing. Not writing's not a thing.
No, you're right. You're right. But that's the thing, is sometimes the other thing is really nebulous and really, like, if you ask me, like, if you tell me, okay, straight up, equal deal. You want to write a short story or you want to watch a shitty horror movie on Netflix? Like, in a clean white vacuum, I'm going to want to write the short story. Mm. However, I've watched a lot of shitty horror movies on Netflix, and at no point was I like, hey, I should write a short story instead. Mm. So it's not nearly so conscious. And also, I didn't write the short story. I watched the shitty horror movie on Netflix. That was not necessarily my priority, per se.
Right, because to say it's a priority almost suggests a lot more intention in there than there probably was.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm bored.
Yeah,
it happens less as I'm older, and I like to think wiser. But sometimes I'm bored, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And it never comes up, hey, you could fucking write. Doesn't come up. So yeah, I kind of wish I made something. Oh, this is an interesting one. We have to wrap it up here, people. But I want to throw this out there. I want some suggestions from you guys. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell me. I need, want, would like something to do while I watch TV and movies. Something to do with my hands.
Like knitting?
Like knitting. Exactly like knitting. Let me say some things here. It needs to be something that at least once I've practiced a bit, I can do without looking at it.
Right.
Because I like to watch the screen. So stuff like cross-stitch, embroidery are out.
Yeah, because you really have to pay attention.
Same thing with games. Because I used to just do, you know, like I'd play little stupid browser games or something. And I sort of can do that, but you kind of have to look away, you know. I hate crochet. Don't even bring up crochet.
And you don't want to do knitting.
Knitting didn't work exactly. I still feel like that could be the best answer, and I maybe should revisit it at some point.
What about spinning?
I haven't considered spinning. I don't know. I should check with Trish on that.
Gandhi's a real advocate of that, or was, I should say, of spinning.
I'll consider spinning. But so let's leave knitting off the table. It's in its own category, and I probably should work on it again. But outside of that, give me some suggestions if you have any, because I'm sort of out of ideas. But spinning is interesting, especially because my wife owns, like, all the drop spindles.
Yeah, so yeah.
Could be interesting. We'll see. Anyway, we are out of time. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us your feelings on Chia the Boof. And also, what skills you think I'm too lazy to have. And we'll talk to you in a week, but for us it'll be much less, because we're time travelers.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.